Our Old Testament reading this morning will come from the 42nd chapter of the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from verses 1 through 9 of Isaiah 42, which is found on page 622 of your pew Bibles. So this time let us listen to God's word for us. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not fail or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading from the third chapter of Matthew's Gospel. And we'll be reading from verse 13 through 17 of Matthew's Gospel. It's found on page 837 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. This Sunday is the baptism of the Lord Sunday. It's always a good time to talk about baptisms. It's a good time to talk about our own baptisms in particular. Most of us here this morning are here because we have at one time or another been baptized. We've been baptized in the name of the Father and in the Son of the Holy Ghost. But most of us here have been baptized at one time or another. Maybe we were baptized as infants. Maybe we were baptized when we were children. Maybe we were baptized when we were adults, but we all were baptized at one point or another in our lives. I grew up in a denomination where we used to baptize by immersion. And I remember as a kid, I always liked it whenever we had a baptism. Because it was, in my mind at least, high theater. You know, when you're a child, 8 or 9 years old, trying to pay attention in church, you know, when you have a baptism, it was something different, and it was something that always caught my attention. We used to have a baptismal pool in the chancel area, right in back of the pulpit, and whenever someone would become baptized, lights in the sanctuary were dimmed and the lights in the chancel area came on, and the pastor would come sloshing through the water from one side of the baptismal pool, and the person being baptized would come from the other side, and they would meet in the middle, and the pastor would dunk them under the water. And again, as a child, that was always high drama for me to see adults dunking each other underwater. But I had to confess, I never quite knew what baptism was all about. Of course, a few years later, when I was baptized at the age of 12, I went through the same ordeal, came sloshing through the water, and the pastor came sloshing through on the other end, and I too was dunked or immersed. Me and my brothers, we were all baptized together. And at that time, I knew a little bit more about what baptism was about. I was told that it was about the forgiveness of sins, that all of my sins had been forgiven. And that was good news, of course, to a child at that time, at 12 years old, to know that all of my sins had been forgiven. All of the mean and wicked things that I had done up until that point had been forgiven. The rock that I threw at that passing car that hit the windshield and then I lied about it, that was forgiven. The cigarette that I smoked behind the laundromat with some of the older boys, that had been forgiven. That was all under the water. It had all been forgiven. But I was also a little bit concerned because I knew that I was only 12 years old, had a lot more sinning to do probably. So I was a bit concerned about that. Maybe I'd had to get baptized every year. Maybe it was smart just to wait till I got old, around 30 years old, and got baptized again. Those were some of the thoughts that crossed my mind. But it was the pastor himself who kind of put my mind at ease on that day. He explained to the congregation, he said that these boys, you know, they have a lot of growing up to do. They have a lot of mistakes that they're going to make, and so they're going to make them. He said, but the important thing is that from this day on out, they belong to God. They have been claimed by God. That kind of helped me understand a little bit better about what baptism is about. It's about our identity. It's about being claimed by God. It's about us being sons and daughters, beloved sons and daughters of God. Whenever someone asks me what baptism is about, that's what I tell them. It means that you belong to God. You are God's beloved sons and beloved daughters. That's the message that Jesus heard when he emerged from the waters of the Jordan during his own baptism. All four of the gospel writers tell us that before Jesus began his ministry, he went down to the river Jordan to be baptized by his cousin John, John the Baptist. I had an opportunity several years ago to be at the river Jordan. And I have to say that I was somewhat disappointed. I'd heard about the river Jordan and the river that I was familiar with back in my hometown. My home state of Missouri was the mighty Mississippi River, and it's a big river, especially if you go, you know, to St. Louis, you know, and you see the river, the Mississippi River. It's a big river, but the River Jordan is just a small little river. It looked more like a creek, like the Wissahickon Creek. If you ever walked along the Wissahickon Creek, it was quite narrow at some places and even muddy in some places. It was a very muddy, dirty looking river. And of course there were people out there being baptized. In fact, there was even a little shop where you could go in and buy souvenirs. And one of the things you could buy were a baptismal gown so that you could be baptized in the Jordan River. And there were lots of people who were doing just that. But that's where Jesus goes. He goes down to the Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. And we need to be clear this morning that Jesus' baptism was not about the forgiveness of sins. Jesus didn't need to go to the River Jordan to have his sins forgiven because he didn't have any sins, at least not at that time. He would later become encumbered with sins, but they were our sins, your sins, and my sins. They would be sins that would come to rest upon him, sins that he would take upon himself, our sins of selfishness, our sins of pride, our sins of prejudice, our sins of greed, all of our sins Jesus would take upon himself. As the Apostle Paul says, for our sakes he became sin. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for all of us. But Jesus goes down to the River Jordan to be baptized, not for his own sins. And so if Jesus' baptism wasn't about the forgiveness of sins, then why was he baptized? I hear people say that all the time. Jesus didn't have any sins. Why did he go to be baptized? Well, first of all, Jesus' baptism was an act of solidarity with all of us. In his baptism, he was identifying with you and me, and he was identifying with people everywhere. That's what he went down to the Jordan to do, to identify and be in solidarity with us. Imagine that. Imagine Jesus, who knew no sin. Imagine Jesus, the Son of God, going and taking his place in line with every other ordinary sinner. You know, sometimes we do things just the opposite. Sometimes we don't want to be close to people because we don't want to be identified with them. We don't want people to in any way identify us with certain kinds of people. So we don't want to be near them. We don't mind helping and doing what we can perhaps to help in some way, but there are certain people that we don't want to be close to, we don't want to identify with. I remember several years ago when I was in seminary in Atlanta doing some work, intermittent work with volunteering with homeless people. And there in the city of Atlanta, many of the homeless were people about like me. You know, usually they were men, young men in their late 20s, 30s. And I would go there and volunteer at the Central Presbyterian Church's homeless shelter. But I always wanted to make it clear that I was not one of them. I was not homeless. Many of them had issues. Some of them had addiction issues. Some of them had mental issues, mental illness. Many of them didn't. They just were not able to make enough money to be able to afford a place to live. They worked their day jobs for day agencies. And they just didn't make enough to be able to afford a place to stay. But I was always careful in all of my volunteering to make sure that people didn't identify me with them. I'm not here because I'm homeless. I'm one of the people here to help. And that's the way we are sometimes. We want to be careful about who we identify with. We don't want people mistaking us to be certain kind of people. But Jesus wasn't concerned about that. In fact, most of Jesus's ministry was ministry with people who were broken, people who were going through all kinds of problems, people who we might consider to be sinners. Jesus's ministry was primarily to those kind of people, and Jesus really didn't care if people identified him with sinners. In fact, some people did identify Jesus with sinners. Why are you hanging around those kind of people? You must be one of those. Birds of a feather flock together. But Jesus didn't care because that's what he came to do. He came to identify with us sinners. And it all started at his baptism. At his baptism, where he goes to get in line with all those other sinners. But at Jesus' baptism, he also hears something else. It's in the very act of him identifying with all of us, with all of our brokenness and all of our sinfulness, it's in that act of identification that Jesus comes to hear and claim his identity. His identity as the beloved Son of God. That's what we are told happens when Jesus is baptized, as he emerges from the baptismal waters. The skies are open, the Holy Spirit comes down, and then he hears the voice. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son in whom I delight. We don't all know who all heard that voice. We don't know if John the Baptist heard it. We don't know if all the other people who were assembled there heard it, but we know that Jesus heard it. And it was that voice that sustained him throughout his ministry. It was that voice that sustained him when he goes into the wilderness to battle with the Satan. It's that voice that sustains him when he undertakes his ministry of healing and forgiveness and reconciliation. It's that voice that he hears, no doubt, as he makes his way to the cross. This is my beloved Son. This is my chosen one. In him I am well pleased. Now Jesus' baptism, of course, is about him. It's about his own baptism. It's about what Jesus himself hears in his unique role as the Son of God. Jesus is uniquely the beloved Son of God in a way that you and I are not. But when we are baptized in Christ. And that's what we come to be as well. We become beloved sons and daughters of God. I realize maybe you don't feel that this morning. Maybe you don't feel beloved at all. Maybe you are here this morning and you're feeling all kinds of other things. Maybe you're just feeling exhausted. You know, many of us work hard, and in the midst of that, we don't necessarily feel beloved. We just feel exhausted. Maybe you just feel unappreciated. I heard someone tell me that not long ago. I just feel so unappreciated by my family. I feel they don't appreciate me. I just feel unappreciated. Maybe you feel disrespected, or maybe you feel alone. Maybe you're just at the end of your rope because of the circumstances of your life. Maybe you're feeling all of those things. But if you're feeling that, the thing you need to hear and to know this morning is that you are God's beloved. That God loves you and cares for you. You are God's beloved. Of course, I don't want you to get the big head. I don't want any of us to get the big head over that. You know, we live in a very narcissistic society. We live in a very self-absorbed society. We live in a transactional society. That's a word I keep hearing over and over again of late. Transactional. You know, what's in it for me? That's what I mean about transactional. What's in it for me? And sometimes that's the way we treat our faith. What's in it for me? I've been baptized. I'm a child of God, a son and daughter of God. What's in it for me? What does that mean for me? And that's not a terribly inappropriate question to ask. There is something in that for all of us. To be God's beloved means that we are heirs and joint heirs with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To be God's beloved means that we are children of the promise. It means that we will one day inherit the world. That's what it means to be beloved sons and daughters of God. But when we are baptized, and when we hear who we are, then we recognize that our belovedness is not about what we get out of it, but it's about what we are called to be. It's about who we are and what we are called to do. To be God's beloved means that you and I are chosen. We've been chosen by God. I need to just say a few words about chosen, that word chosen, because it's a word that's been in the news a great deal lately. You know, people being chosen to be something, people being chosen by God for a particular purpose, leaders being chosen by God. And we need to understand from a Christian perspective, there's only one person that has been chosen. One person who has been chosen to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings. One person that has been chosen that we are called to follow. One person who's been chosen to bring justice to the ends of the earth. And that person is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So from a Christian perspective, it doesn't make sense to talk about anybody being chosen by God for the particular purpose of leading us. We already have a chosen leader. And it's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has chosen to bring justice to the world. The question is, will we follow him? That's the question. And as Isaiah tells us, that the way that Jesus goes about bringing justice is not the way that we would do it. He doesn't hold any rallies in the street. He doesn't raise his voice in the street. He doesn't bruise any broken reeds. He doesn't make himself loud. He doesn't go through and try to beat up his enemies. That's not the way that Jesus brings forth justice. But he brings it forth in the most compassionate, the most humble, the most vulnerable way. He brings it forth by walking in the way of self-giving love. You and I have been baptized in Christ. And because you and I have been baptized in Christ, it means that you and I both are also a part of God's chosen. We are God's chosen people. We've been called to be the light of the world. And it doesn't mean, again, that we are to be self-absorbed. It doesn't mean that we are to go out and be concerned about ourselves, circling constantly around ourselves. It doesn't mean that we are called to try to force ourselves on the world at all. But it means that we are called to be agents of God's healing and love and reconciliation in the same way that Jesus himself went about it, by walking in the way of God's self-giving love. We don't have any baptism scheduled for today. This is usually a day when people present their babies for baptism. I was at the presbytery offices yesterday, and one of the ladies there was saying that her granddaughter was going to be baptized today. But occasionally, of course, people come up and they want their babies baptized, and baptisms are usually cute, adorable affairs. But I often want people to make sure that they know what they're doing when they present their child for baptism. In fact, I want all of us to know what we're doing whenever we come forward for baptism. Because what we are saying is that we are God's chosen. that God has chosen us to be God's servants, to be God's agents in the world, that we are chosen to set our own lives aside so that we might give ourselves totally to God and to be the light of the world that God has called us to be. We don't have any baptism scheduled, but we will be ordaining our officers and installing our officers this morning. And there are people who've been chosen by all of us and chosen by God to be God's servants in the work of this particular church. And I always give thanks for our officers, for our leaders, our elders, our deacons, our trustees, because it's not easy. Those of you who've served, you know it's not easy. Those of you who've asked to be served and said no, you know too, it's not easy. Sometimes you get tired. Sometimes you feel overwhelmed. Maybe sometimes you don't feel appreciated. But the work that you are called to do is God's work. It's God's work in the midst of God's world. Because we are called not for ourselves, but we are called for the sake of the world. Especially to serve those who are broken. To serve those who are most desperate. To serve those who need more than anything to hear the good news of who God is. To hear that God loves them and cares for them. That's what we are all called to do and called to be. The work of this church, of course, is not just the work of our officers, but it's the work of all of us. It's the work of all of us who are baptized. Because that's what happened at our baptism. God came down to us. God's Spirit came down. God reached down to us. And God said, "You are my beloved. You're my beloved. I want you to know how much I love you. And because I love you, I want you to know that I have work for you to do. Because I love not only you, but I love this whole world." And it's in going out and living into that identity. It's by going out and serving our neighbors. By going out in those places that are broken, in those places where God's loving, healing Spirit needs most to be felt, that we too live into our identity as God's beloved sons and daughters. You are God's beloved. You are God's servant. You are God's chosen one. In him, God delights in you. God delights in me. God delights in all of us when we claim our identity as God's beloved sons and daughters. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us to be the light of the world. How we often get that all messed up. We sometimes think that to be your people, that it means that we have to proclaim that we are right in such a way that we force others to do what we think is right. We often think that to be your beloved sons and daughters, it means that we have to win in those arenas where we think winning is everything. It means that we go out and proclaim who we are in ways other than the ways that you have shown us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But to be your sons and daughters means to walk in the way that Jesus called us to walk. To be your servant means that we are filled with your love and compassion for one another and filled with your love and compassion for other people. It means that we are called to give ourselves for the sake of this world that you love and cared for and has already undertaken to redeem in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we ask, Lord, that you help us to be your people. Help us to be the light that shines in the midst of the darkness in all that we do. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.